This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and backs it in.
Yes.
Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lin's sanity continues here in Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Nice. Do you know what movie, opening scene of a movie this is from?
When people keep retreating,
like I should know this.
You can't never fall in love.
This is,
when everybody keeps
this song, this is Pete Townsend.
Yes, I know this.
Of The Who. And
let my love open the door.
There is a successful movie. That this is the song of the opening sequence. And the opening sequence has something to do with swimming. See if you got it.
When everything feels all over.
Has to do with swimming and reaching your destination. And
the opening scene has to do with
this? The opening sequence of the movie is millions swimming, trying to do what only one can.
Open the door. Then I guess I don't know it. By the way, I have had this idea forever. We need a database. Like, there needs to be an app where you just type in a song and it gives you
what movies it's been in.
Not just what movies, the movies and the scene. It gives you a clip of the scene that it's in.
Right. That's not a bad idea.
Simple.
That's not a bad idea for an app, or just anything. Like, you plug in a song, it'll give you every TV show it's ever been in, every commercial it's ever been in, just like whatever. That's not a bad idea. It's in the opening sequence of Look Who's Talking. Did you ever see Look Who's Talking?
No, I haven't. So there you go.
Look Who's Talking is obviously a movie where John Travolta and Kirstie Alley end up, she has a child and he ends up helping out the child, and the child's inner thoughts are spoken by Bruce Willis. And it's kind of like, you know, it's the movie perspective from the kid and they're building a relationship and blah, blah, blah. But the opening scene is sperm swimming towards the egg. To that song, yes. Let my love open the door.
I like that song.
No, that's a great one.
Love. And John Mayer uses it as a prelude for one of his other songs. He slows it down, does like an acoustic version. It's very good.
Really? I've never heard that.
I've seen it live.
That sounds up my alley. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, Let My Love Open the Door. Great song. Look Who's Talking. Okay movie. Look Who's Talking 2. Solid movie. Look Who's Talking Now when they incorporate dogs. Not so much. Look Who's Talking. Oh, pretty damn good. Look Who's Talking 2. Passable. Look Who's Talking Now. They went too far.
It's always the third.
It's all you just, yeah, you can't. I believe dogs were involved, where it was like you got the inner thoughts of the dogs then. Like, it didn't work. But Look Who's Talking, the original, had Abe Vigoda in it. And I have a buddy who I'm hopefully going to see later today who always does that. He's like, Abe Vigoda's in a nursing home in the movie. And it's like, Esta, come meet my grandson. They got good shrimp here. He does a really good impression of it. I can't do it. But Abe Vigoda, the great Abe Vigoda, is in Look Who's Talking. And, of course, Bruce Willis, who just celebrated, and I was happy to see the video. I'm assuming this was recent. Bruce Willis, who's obviously dealing with major health issues and, you know, I guess onset dementia and everything, and celebrated his 70th birthday, and Demi Moore was there, and he was dancing, he was doing musical numbers. He looked, you know, was that 2 days ago? Yeah, he looked like he was in good spirits. So hopefully he's doing okay. Love me some Bruce. Big Bruce Willis guy. Him and John Travolta, both in Pulp Fiction, both in Look Who's Talking. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Did you ever play that game? Do you know that reference?
I know the game, okay. But yes.
Okay, just trying to make sure. 888-808-1019. So we talked a lot about the Johnnies. We'll get into the Knicks now. And look, I don't even know what to say about it right now. I'm not overly concerned necessarily. As you just heard, Marco said that they said that Brunson is out of the boot and they're hopeful he's going to be able to play a handful of games before the playoffs start. And that's the scary part. But right now, the effort they've given you, I mean, it's about effort, right? The Rangers, too. I didn't get a, again, driving a little bit, saw a little bit, didn't get to see the entire game. They lost 4-3 to Toronto. The effort was a little bit better. You know, Igor, I don't know how well he played. I heard, you know, I got a double. I saw some people complaining about it. I also saw a highlight of an incredible pass he made. I mean, that's why, you know, I mean, his ability to handle the puck as well as, you know, how good he is in between the pipes. I mean, that's why you make $11.5 million. But right now, this team is just lost. JT Miller's at the bench trying to rally the troops. It's just not there for the Rangers. And I doubt very much they end up making it into the playoffs. They are now 2 full points behind in the wild card, tied with the Islanders, who, you know, traded away their best player and yet have still managed to find a way to win some games while the Rangers are in free fall. And the New York Knicks certainly aren't in free fall, but back-to-back losses against the dregs of the NBA, I don't care if it's on the road. I don't care if it's back-to-back. They've got to figure out a way. And you look at the game here. I mean, Josh Hart, who we're going to hear from in a second, 3-for-3 from three-point land, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Karl Anthony Towns, 24 points. OG Anunoby, who at the beginning of this game played really well. And Mikal Bridges, not enough, 0-for-4 from 3. He's got to find his shot. And right now, they are just going through the motions. And you could sense it. You could feel it. It's obvious. It's palpable that they are just going through the motions. And, you know, Josh Hart, who's been a voice for this team, who has talked about selfishness in this team early on, who, you know, called out the schedule the other day, had more to say after this game. Let's listen to a couple of cuts from Josh Hart.
Mental toughness. I think that's my big concern right now. You know, we can make all the excuses in the world, but there's highs and lows in the season, and, you know, no one's 82-0. But the way that we're losing games is embarrassing. So we have to find a way to, you know, right the ship. We got to come out next game with more intensity, more desperation. Starts with myself as someone who's supposed to bring energy. I've been you know, atrocious the last several weeks. Like I said, we can make the excuses. Yeah, we've had a terrible two and a half weeks of travel. But, you know, all teams go through terrible, you know, travel periods during the season. And it's not an excuse. If we're right mentally, you know, we win some of these games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's wrong. It is about mental toughness. It's about mental toughness. And yesterday, you were laying into, it wasn't about mental toughness. It was about the schedule. Yesterday, the mental toughness issue was with you, Josh. So I'm not getting on you, you know, because you've been so great for this team and you've been the glue of this team and you've been a guy who's mentally tough, physically tough. But, you know, right now, I don't disagree with them. The mental toughness is the issue. And they've played now, you know, a good stretch without Brunson. They're going on a tough road. They went on a tough road trip. They came back, went right back on the road, back-to-back nights against two lousy teams. And off of the effort they put forth against San Antonio, I am shocked with the effort they put forth last night against the Charlotte Hornets. 115-98. And again, look at what's the issue? What's the issue over and over and over again with this team? Defending the perimeter. You can say that. You can say that on air. What's your definition of the problem with this team?
They don't close out on 3-point
shots. Bang, exactly right. 46.9% from 3-point land. The Charlotte Hornets shot damn near 50% from behind the arc, while the Knicks shot 25%. You're not going to win that way. You're not going to win that way. Not, and they took 15 of 32, 10 of 39. Like, you're not going to win that way, giving up 50% from the 3-point line. Like, they do not close out on threes. And OG and Mikal Bridges are supposed to be two of the better closeout defenders in the game, and they're just not right now. And Carl Anthony, and you know, Miles McBride, also defensive guy, right? He came up a defensive guy, wasn't sure if he was going to find his offensive game. He's found it a little bit in spurts, and I have no problem with McBride necessarily. Deuce is a good player. But when Deuce, OG, and Bridges are on the floor together, there is no reason. When that's three of the starting five, there is no reason that a team that was 17 and 51 should be hitting 50% of their three-pointers. There is no reason why a guy I don't know if I've heard of before last night in San Antonio, I know he played for Seton Hall, is the only player in NBA history to score 34 points and play less than 20 minutes. Like, that's the thing. Like, this team is awful. They're shooting 50 from the three. The Spurs don't have their two best players or their head coach and bench players who've played in 40 games and haven't scored more than 12 points in any of them somehow score 34 in 19 minutes. How is that possible? When you have a defensive-minded McBride, you have a defensive-minded OG Anunoby, and a Bridges who's supposed to be one of the better perimeter defenders in the game. How is that possible? We know Carl Anthony Towns isn't the best rim protector. We know that. We know Josh Hart has limits offensively, but defensively, there is no reason why four out of that starting five, right? Even when it's Brunson, you understand that he's not a great defender, and we'll see how he feels when he comes back. I mean, a couple of games before the playoffs kind of just sounds not good. Like they were hopeful he'll play a few before the playoffs start. That sucks. But when he's on the floor and Towns is on the floor, you can understand, okay, your one and your five aren't great defensively. You demand so much of them offensively that you're going to have breakdowns defensively, fine. But when McBride is in there, when it's OG, Bridges, McBride, and Hart, there is no excuse for 50% from the field or from three from the Charlotte Hornets. Or from San Antonio. Right. And with this coach. And again, you know, the coach is just going to, we're going to have talking points about the coach. We're going to have talking points about the coach over and over again. We talk about this. He's supposed to be, like, right now, what's the two problems? What are the two things I'm talking about? It doesn't mean, I mean, that's how I see it. But let's just be honest. How did Hart and myself see it? I think defensively, closing out on threes is a major issue in defending the perimeter. And Josh Hart's talking about mental toughness. What does Tibbs do? What is he good at? What are his expertise? What do you expect from a Tibbs team? What do you expect? You expect mental toughness and solid defense. And those two things are eluding them at the moment. And as Rami said in my ear, and he's 100% right, it's been most noticed against the Boston Celtics. But the Knicks do not fight through screens. The Knicks drop behind every single screen. And it leads to open threes over and over again. And Boston, it's a joke. It's the same thing over. They set up a screen, don't fight through it, leave up an open three, and they hoist them, and Boston can shoot. And that's why they get these games blown out, because if Boston hits their shots, you can't keep up with Boston.
It's how they lost to the Warriors twice.
It's how they lost to the Warriors. So, yeah.
It's Steph Curry.
Yeah, I know.
It's insane. I don't understand how Tibbs' head isn't exploding from that.
I know. It's true. The defensive effort has just not been there. And it's not, you can't tell me that it's the players. Not right now. Not with McBride in there instead of Brunson. You can't tell me that a starting five that has Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, Deuce McBride, and Josh Hart can't play defense. You just can't tell me that. Defense is effort. Defense is mental toughness. Defense is what Tibbs brings, and this team doesn't have it. And that's what scares me. And that's what the calls for this coach and the volume around his job is going to get louder and louder. And right now, if you tell me you got a Brunson just returning from a severely sprained ankle and gets to play maybe two or three games heading into the playoffs, that is a recipe for disaster right now for the New York Knicks. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kevin in Copaig. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, C-Mac?
What's up, brother? How we doing?
Evan Longoria, he saw a Mets lineup a couple months ago. He was like, I'll take the over on clubhouse fights. I'm feeling a little 86 with these Mets, like Winker, Siri, McNeil. Even Soto could be a little villainous. I mean, we should really just jump into that bad guy thing for the Mets.
You want to embrace the villain?
Well, yeah, Siri's a bad guy. He's like bat flipping, and Winker's hated all over the MLB.
I don't know about bad guys necessarily. You're right, though. A little bit of a swag. You know, I certainly don't think Soto is a bad guy, but his act can wear thin on pitchers. The Soto shuffle and everything, it can annoy some certain people, and Winker is a guy who's done that. McNeil is just never happy. McNeil's medulla oblongata is a little swollen because the guy's always ornery. And like I could see that a little bit. I could see that a little bit, but I don't know if they're a bad guy. If they're going to lean into being they would lean into being the Death Star. They'd lean into, I know the Dodgers make it tough for anybody else to feel that way, but right now, you know, they bring in Juan Soto. They had last year. They have the richest owner in baseball. They lean into the idea that, you know, they're the big team in town and stuff like that. I don't know if they necessarily have a bunch of bad guys or you know, guys who are going to get a bunch of fights, but maybe if Longoria feels that way. Longoria said some things about the Mets, apparently. It's the first I'm hearing about it. I'll have to go check. I know Eric Hosmer had some things to say about the Yankees. So we're getting talked about here in New York. But why? You think they should lean? How does one team go in about leaning into being the bad guy?
I mean, Lindor and Nimmo, it starts there. I mean,
well, what do you want them to
Nimmo,
do?
Nimmo, you hate Nimmo running to first base. Stop that.
That's
Lindor,
true.
Stop smiling. Stop dapping up every teammate. Get a little angry. You know, instead of Mr. Smile, be Mr. Serious. Happiest guy in baseball, be a miserable guy in baseball. We haven't won S.
No, Kevin, you're way... come on, man. You don't want to change Lindor. Let Lindor smile, man. Let Lindor enjoy life and enjoy baseball. He should. Tell Nimmo stop running the first base. How dare you? How dare you? Why don't you just rip the sun from the sky? Why don't you tell the ocean to stop, you know, having waves? Why don't you tell a rose to not smell sweet? I'm trying to think of other things. You can't tell Nimmo not to run to first base. I think the planet might go off its axis. Right. I mean, you just can't. Come on. You don't want to change these guys. And I don't know about, I've never heard that before. I mean, listen, they've had their own in between, you know, with each other. A little bit with Lindor and McNeil, that's it. And there's been some speculation that Alonso wasn't loved in the room, but I don't know if that's fair either, the way the team reacted when they signed him. So I wouldn't worry about that. Right now, it's pretty damn good in Metland. Like, I'm trying, you know, I got a couple people like, oh, you know, you constantly talk about the Yankees or whatever. I'm like, the Yankees have storylines. The Yankees have injuries and filling those injuries. And now I got, you know, it sounds like Alex Verdugo, who signed with the Braves, by the way, for $1.5 million. It sounds like he gave Stanton a new bat to use, and that bat, one, it got them to the World Series, but two, is apparently the reason for the, or at least there's a conspiracy theory out there that bat led to the injury to his elbows. Like, but there's, who are they going to put in the rotation? Who's going to play third base? You know, is Dominguez going to be able to play left field? What's the lineup construction? Like, it's there's really not a lot with the Mets right now. Yeah, they're dealing with the Manaea injury. They're dealing with the Montas injury. But every damn starting pitcher is unbelievable. So it's just a matter of what this rotation looks like. Do they go to the sixth man? We saw Kodai Senga today. Had a decent enough outing. Got better as he went along. But you're waiting on Manaea. Who knows how long that's going to be. But David Peterson is pitching so far in spring and the end of last year like an ace. I mean, he's been that good. Clay Holmes is going to be the opening day starter, and he's looked brilliant. Griffin Canning's looked good. Paul Blackburn's looked good. So right now it's just a matter of what order do they put the rotation in. The batting order is, you know, I mean, I think it's Lindor, Soto, probably Alonso to start the year. But ultimately, there's really only one question. Like, does Beatty play second base? And I talked about it, and I've gone on and about it. I think it should be Beatty. But right now in Metland, it's pretty freaking good. I don't know what would you be complaining about. And I don't know why these guys would be fighting. I think they all look pretty happy. I think they're pretty excited and getting ready to start this season and see if they could pick up where they left off in the NLDS as well, now with adding Juan Soto. So I think Metland is great. And Met fans are through the roof. I mean, I did a thing yesterday on the Yankees rotation, and I just said, look, it's good to start. It's good to go to start the year. We'll ride out the, you know, Cookie Carrasco for as long as you can, and ride out Stroman for as long as you can. And you'll make moves. You'll make additions. Will Warren will come up eventually. You're going to get Luis Gil back. They might trade for a starter. Who knows? Now, all of a sudden, there's been some talk about Montgomery. I've seen a couple of stories where Montgomery's having a terrible spring. Could be on the move out of Arizona, and I've mentioned that before. So I did a thing just briefly on, well, look, I think the rotation's good to start, and then you're going to have to make some additions. But the idea that I said good to start, like I got a bunch of, this guy's such a shill. He's got a chair inside Hal's office. I got a desk. Yeah, I got an office inside Hal's office. I sit there at a Fisher Price table waiting for Hal to throw me scraps to come on the air with. I mean, come on. That's what I'm like. Right now, everything's great in Metland, and the Yankees feel like the season's falling apart. It hasn't even started. Did you see the 5 RBIs from Jazz Chisholm? I'm telling you right now. I saw that BT and Sal talked about it. I was listening to them a little bit today, and they did, you know, what the lineup could be. The Yankee lineup by no means is a guarantee, and by no means do I really believe it will be better at scoring runs than last year, because Juan Soto and Judge back-to-back are a force. And that is more valuable than being more well balanced. But the Yankees have an opportunity if it goes well. Like, and I know that's an if. Of course, it's an if. Everything's an if. But you look at what Jazz has just done over the last couple weeks. You look at how spring's going, Bellinger. Like, if you look at it, how athletic they can be in the back of the lineup. Volpe just hit the furthest ball I've ever seen him hit last night. You've got the speed of Dominguez, Volpe, Jazz, the power of Jazz, Wells, obviously Judge, Bellinger. Like, I think the lineup has a chance to be dynamic. I really do. And fun and different and athletic and young and different than what we've seen. And the bottom of the order that last year was an absolute just barren wasteland has a real opportunity to be good or at least solid, which is different than what it's been. I'm excited about the offense. I got to be honest with you. I am excited about this Yankee offense. I'm excited about the bullpen. I'm hopeful for the rotation. I'm excited about the bullpen and the rotation. About the bullpen and the lineup. I'm hopeful with the rotation, excited with the back end of the bullpen and the lineup, because I think it has a chance to be really damn good. It also has a chance to be really damn bad. We got to see how it goes. But I do think there are pieces there. I think the lineup is far bigger and far longer and has guys who are legitimate hitters throughout. And they can do different things. And you could see hit and runs and stolen bases and, you know, different things at the bottom of the order with all the speed they're going to have there. Wells is having a great spring. He's going to see a lot of fastballs in front of Judge. I think there's a chance that this lineup is actually dynamic. 888-808-1019. We'll get into that. I also want to talk about what Alex Cora had to say about Aaron Boone. I haven't had a chance to talk about it over the last 2 days. Find it fascinating. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Back with your calls.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
McMonagle here with you at 3:36. 888-808-1019. Got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Rami's spinning the tunes and your calls are up. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Eddie in Rockland. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, buddy. What's happening, man?
What's up?
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Who knew you had the Pope on speed dial, man?
That's right. It was a riveting conversation we had.
Now, does he get a birthday call every year?
Yeah, I send him a birthday text, sure, just to keep in touch, sure.
What about Russo? Does he get one?
I never worked with Russo.
18 years you didn't cross over with Russo?
I mean, I didn't work with him. I worked with Mike every day for 7 years. I never worked with Mike and the Mad Dog. I did a couple of fill-in, you know, I was on the board for a couple of his Saturday shows, and I definitely filled in on the board for a couple of Mike and the Mad Dog shows, but I started in 07, and when they broke up in 08, I guess, right? So, I mean, I limited. I mean, I know Russo. I don't know if he knows me or remembers me, but I never had, you know, I worked with Mike every day for years.
So he doesn't get a birthday call.
No. I don't even know when his birthday is.
I bet you don't know this about him. You know what his favorite football team is?
Russo? I don't even know if he has a favorite football team.
Yeah, he does. No one knows about it, too many people.
Packer. Okay, well,
he's
just
a Packer guy, supposedly.
He's a Packer guy, okay.
Supposedly.
Okay.
Supposedly. I never hear him talk about him, but.
Yeah, I've never heard him talk about the Packers as he's a fan of them. I mean, I've heard him probably talk about the Packers, but never under the. Like, the only team I know he roots for is the Giants. Other than that, I don't know. San Francisco Giants, that is.
And tennis, women's tennis. Don't forget women's tennis.
Well, all tennis. He's a big tennis guy, yes.
Right. Okay, now, Chris. I want you to understand something. You're the main Giant fan on the radio, right? Kind of.
Yeah, sure. We can go with that.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, Tiki Barber exists on the radio, but sure. I'm the main Giant fan here at the station. Sure, why not? Let's run with it.
Right. Okay. And what you're really trying to do is you're really trying to destroy the franchise.
You think so?
Why? Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Say the franchise is set. I'm going after the quarterbacks next year. Just say they are.
Okay.
And they do that, and those motions show that. What are you going to say about the franchise?
I'm going to say they made a mistake. I'm going to say they made a mistake not taking a quarterback this year.
They don't have the right as a company or as a franchise to go after the player they want?
No, they don't have the right. Of course they do. They can do whatever they think is right. And I can do, and it's my right to criticize them or agree with them. That's how it works. They do things outside of my purview. They don't call me and ask my opinion to do on what they do. They do things, I react to them. That's how it works. I think, me, the sports radio host at 3:38 in the morning, I think they should draft a quarterback because I don't think you can wait for next year. Who knows what's going to be next year? Who knows where they're going to be, how they're going to have the ability to even take the quarterback next year? The owner shows anytime you mention the word tank, the owner gets furious and says he'll fire anybody.
Oh, that's an act.
Okay.
That's an act.
All right,
he didn't get that furious about Saquon, and he just acted like it. But let me get one thing for you.
Yeah.
This Saturday, the 22nd, there's a big shindig at the Boomer thing, little beer thing at the Huntington Beach Club.
I saw that. He's guest bartending or something, yes.
You know, and the following week is Gio's thing with Allie, and you know, you said it was in May and you can't go. It's in March. It's coming up. Why can't you make these two things coming up?
I never said I couldn't make those two things. I can't do the bike ride because...
Brian Roscone's... I'm going to be there. You know why? Because Roscone's going to be there. I get to drill on Valgio's golf game and how terrible he is.
That's great. I'm very happy for you.
I'm getting tanked at the bar.
I'm very excited for you. Those are both in Long Island. It's far from me, but I haven't said I can't go to those. Man. I can't go to the bike thing.
Right.
Right.
But there's three of them coming up. I just want to miss it. If you're going to make one, two, or you're going to miss all three of them.
I honestly don't know, Eddie. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know. Over the weekend, I don't know. My kids' baseball season's coming up. Long Island's about a 2.5-hour drive for me. I went to the Long Island event at... Now, you don't give me any credit for going to the Islander game. Went to the Islander game. That's a Gio and Sal kind of event. I went. WFAN guy went. I mean, I'm trying, man. Thanks for keeping me updated on all the going-ons of WFAN, Eddie. I can always count on you. In case I miss anything, you will always give me a call and let me know what's going on at WFAN. Because apparently, like, you work here, I guess. Jose in Newark. What's up, Jose?
Hey, what's up, Chris? Listen, man, they making you out to be the villain or something?
They're trying to make me the villain. I don't want to be the villain. I'm the good guy. I'm the hero.
Guy about the match.
I'm the hero in this story. Go ahead, Jose.
Oh, my God. Listen, man, first and foremost, I would like to, you know, I lost a good friend, mentor, the best pizza maker in Harrison, New Jersey. I want to rest in peace to Angelino D'Angelo, Nino.
I'm sorry to hear that. Rest in peace, Nino.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chris.
Of course.
I mean, I love the way you put everybody back in their place because I wish I could do what you do, too, man, because I love talking about sports and especially the Mets, the Yankees, the Knicks, the Nets, the Jets, and the Giants.
You've almost said them all.
Yeah, and, you know, and I root for all of them, man. I'm a Mets fan, and the Mets don't make it out, then I root for the Yankees. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Me and you are a rare breed. They don't think I wouldn't go as far as to wear a Met hat, but I will root for them. And I'll tell you this, on opening day, I'll be pulling for Clay Holmes. He's my guy.
That's right, man. I mean, they got a pretty good young team now. You know what I'm saying? And the Yankees do, too. They got a young team.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying so, Jose. I appreciate it because everyone keeps telling me how old they are. How old the Yankees are. They're not old. They're young. They're athletic. Now, are they good? That would be the question. But they are young and athletic. They are not old. I don't know why people keep saying that. DJ LeMahieu's not a part of this team. You can't like, oh, DJ LeMahieu, Giancarlo Stanton right now. I don't know when Stanton's coming back. Ben Rice is the DH. He ain't old. Oswaldo Cabrera is the third baseman. He ain't old. So don't give me players who aren't playing. You got Carrasco and you got Goldschmidt. Like, that's where you're pointing to when you're saying the Yankees are old. They're not. They're young. They're athletic. They're going to be better defensively. They're going to be better on the base paths. All of the things we hated about last year's team, they're going to be better at. Now the question is, will they be a potent offense and will this rotation be able to keep this team afloat? I think certainly the rotation will be able to keep the team afloat. I definitely think that. The rotation will be good enough for this team to still win games. They might not be dynamic. They won't be as good as we hoped they would be. It's not going to be a force that puts them at the top of the American League like I hope the rotation would do for them. But it is going to be good enough to keep them afloat until Luis Gil comes back and or they could do something at the trade deadline. So I do think that. And they also have Will Warren had his worst spring training outing yesterday. Really his only bad one. So I believe in Will Warren on some level. I think he could be a solid pitcher in this rotation. I think Carrasco, I just have a weird feeling Carrasco is going to give them 2-3 months of good baseball. It won't be the whole year, but he will give them 2 or 3 months of good baseball. And I feel like Stroman's going to do it too. Stroman's going to be fine. Not great, but fine. They're going to need Max Fried to be really good, and they're going to need Carlos Rodon, because to me, that's the guy. You want to point to a guy on this team? There's a couple of guys on this team that you could point to that make the difference, and Carlos Rodon is one of those guys. If he is a legitimate number two for Max Fried, that changes the whole deal. Or if he's just a, you know, an average number three or a number four starter, and he's got a four ERA, then they got problems. So Carlos Rodon is going to be someone who really needs to step up. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. More of your calls next.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 351, McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll get into Pizzagate in a little bit, because Evan is just, and I'm mad no one reached out to me. Because Eddie knows that I've been around long enough to do the pizza order. And it's amazing to me how we're in New York City. Now, I know there's a lot of debate about pizza and whether or not, you know, New Haven, Connecticut has the best pizza in the world, or New Jersey has the best pizza in the world, or New York has the best pizza in the world. I actually watched the documentary on, I don't think it was just pizza. It was like the best of, and pizza was like one of the episodes of a Netflix series. And they claim that the best pizza in the world is in Phoenix, Arizona. So now, that's not an area where all the pizza in Phoenix is really good, but there's a specific restaurant, a specific guy who was from New York, studied in Italy. There's a particular type of grain out in Phoenix that he's making these incredible pizzas, and they say the best pizza in the world is in Phoenix, Arizona. But wherever you think the best pizza in the world is, it's pretty damn good here in New York City. So I don't know how the hell they could have so many problems getting good pizza. How do you order? And we'll get into it on the other side. 888. But he gets too small, then it's not good. I mean, the disaster that was the pizza that almost ruined the tournament for everybody. Thank God Johnny's came through. Otherwise, yesterday we would have been a disaster.
I'm a loser, as I've said many times.
Yeah, it's amazing how bad he is at these little things. We'll get into it next. But let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac, what's going on?
What's up, brother? How are you? Good.
Good. Is family good and everybody?
Everybody's great. How are you guys?
Good. Listen, first of all, are Eddie and Brett related?
I don't think so. They're a little bit different.
Two peas in the pot.
They're a little bit different. Eddie's constantly looking to have a got you moment, and he's obsessed with the inner workings of WFAN. And then Brett just really wants to just yell and say I'm wrong. It's a little different, but they are very similar. Where they're the two, everyone else I feel like I get along with, but me, Eddie, and me and Brett seem to butt heads sometimes.
God, yeah, he even got EJ the other day. EJ was ready to kill him, and that guy's like so mellow. He was like,
him and EJ got into it too?
Oh, with Brett, yeah, he was ready. Like he literally put him on hold, and then he went back on. He started rah, 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 and boom. He hung up on him, yelling at him.
Yep.
Crazy, buddy.
That's Brett. Yeah,
and the other guy too, you had me cracking up when you have these guys like you. So you're making fun sort of to their face, but they don't know. You're like, how many miles to which? 100 miles? You remind me of that time when you were with the guy with the Pluto over Mars.
Oh, and, yeah. I don't know. Now, did he call him? Rami on the other side of the glass is very up on what's going on in the morning show. They referenced something along the lines of having an astronomer on to talk about something over the... Was that the same guy? I don't think it was the same guy either, because he was very upset with me. He called back and told Fleegs that I was a massive jerk. I was like a real jerk or something.
I think the morning one's actually a woman.
I knew they were talking something about it, and I heard them referencing it and laughing like something had just happened, but I didn't hear the thing that happened. So
Hilarious.
But yeah, that was funny. That guy when because this one Mars is in retrograde.
Oh my god! And then just my quick Met points here.
Yes.
So I'm the only guy. I don't know if you know. Every time I call you with the Met, I hate the pitching lab. I don't think that it's going to be good this year.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be. Yeah, did it work last year? Yes, it was fantastic last year. Do I see what Stearns is doing? Sort of like what the Dodgers are doing. They're stockpiling pitchers, right? Like starters. But the problem is that the Dodgers have like 10 quality A to, you know, 1A, 1AB type pitchers, whereas the Mets have all misfit toys, like these Montas and stuff.
No, like, I mean, the Dodgers spend money in the rotation. So if you're just going to go based on the Dodgers do everything right, they spend money in the rotation. They went and acquired Snell. They traded for Glasnow, who's had injuries.
I agree, but they have like 10 pitchers. They have a lot of guys under control, the Mays, all the other guys that are hurt and stuff like that. They have like 10 quality starters.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Mets, like, even with, they didn't want to spend an extra, $8 or $9 million to get Tanner Scott. Meanwhile, what happens if Diaz is not the same? He's not throwing as hard, and he's not the same.
Yeah.
Now you don't have a quality starter, and you got Minter's not he doesn't get saves. So you get a guy like Tanner Scott to save games too. I don't know. I can't see.
Rami on the other side just took the words out of my mouth. You'll transition Clay Holmes into your closer.
Oh, man.
You'll take him out of the rotation and put him back in the ninth.
Next week we get Gallo in our pitching lab.
maybe. They have done an amazing job. And I was going to talk about the Diaz thing. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Not just yet, at least. I know they're down. His velocity was sitting around 94, 95, and he's a 99, 100 guy. We've seen this before. I don't know if you remember with the Yankees. Dylan Betances was a notorious, every single spring, it's like, oh, my God, Dylan Betances is throwing 93. Well, he throws 100. And then by, the third week of April, he was up to 100 miles an hour. It takes some time. I don't know. The stories I've read have all included his regular season numbers. I don't know where he was last year at spring. I know he was coming off the knee injury last year at spring. I wouldn't worry about it just yet. It's still spring training. The juices aren't flowing, and especially for closers, right? If you've closed for as long as he's closed, you get an exhilaration coming into the game in the ninth inning with an opportunity to win. There is just none of that for a spring training outing. So I wouldn't worry just yet. We've seen it before where velocity can tick down. Obviously, I do think he needs it, though. I will say this. If it is a problem, if for whatever reason he is no longer throwing 99, 100, it's not that he can't be successful. I just don't think he can be what he was 2 years ago. I don't think that's plausible, or 3 years ago now. I really don't. I do think he needs the velocity. But I wouldn't worry so much that it's gone just yet. Let's get a month, even through the first couple of appearances, I wouldn't get overly worried. If it's May 5th, if we're looking at the second week of May and he's still throwing 93, 94, then I would really be concerned. But until then, I think this is typical. It's spring training. He's a closer. He lives off the vibe. He lives off the trumpets. He's so used to it. The same thing would happen with Chapman. Chapman would come in, he'd get demoted to the seventh inning for being terrible for 2 months, and he wouldn't throw the same in the seventh or the eighth, let alone spring training, because you need that oomph that closers become addicted to and used to. So I wouldn't go nuts about the Diaz stuff just yet. 888-808-1019. Quick break update. We'll come back, say good morning, and take it to the warm-up show at 5 right here on The Fan.